This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, thank you everyone for being on this Zoom call. As you saw our press release earlier this morning, Kevin Adams is our newly appointed GM. Kim and I are here to make that announcement along with Kevin. And we also have our head coach, Ralph Krueger, on the call. So any of us are free to answer questions. And go ahead, Chris.
No, Kevin wants to.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Thanks, Terry. I want to start by saying thank you to all the media for joining us today. And I really want to say thank you to Terry and Kim Pegula for this opportunity. This is a dream come true for me. Many of you know that I grew up in Western New York. I wore number 11 when I started playing hockey because of watching Gilbert Perreault. This is a very special day for me and my family. I am so excited to start this job, learn from Ralph Krueger and his staff, work side by side on a daily basis. And you know, as many of you know, I believe that winning is doing it together. We're going to move forward. We're going to be positive. And I'm really looking forward to what lies ahead. So I'll turn it over to Chris and take any questions that you may have.
All right. John Warrow, go ahead with the first question.
Terry, Kim, Kevin, Ralph, thanks for doing this today on a short notice. I guess this is for Terry and or Kim. What changed in the 3 weeks since Kim, you know, told the AP that, you know, that Jason Botterill was going to be retained for continuity's sake because he had valuable knowledge of the runnings of the franchise? What changed over the course of that time, and why did you feel the need to make this change of course, you know, over the 3 weeks?
Oh, sorry. Okay, trying to get myself unmuted. John, I knew you were going to ask me that question because we certainly had this conversation 3 weeks ago. And when I talked to you 3 weeks ago, certainly that was our intent, that Jason was going to continue for the reasons that you just noted. You know, if you recall at that time, we had just found out that the regular season had ended. And then in the next 3 weeks, you know, especially with the announcement of the draft being really pushed back to sometime this fall, you know, it gave us a little bit more time to really start digging in and say, okay, what does the future look like? Let's start looking and planning for the future. And I think that's what changed in those 3 weeks.
Yeah, John, when we were in detailed discussions on with Jason and how we felt we needed to move forward effectively, efficiently, and economically running this franchise, we felt that there were too many differences in opinion going into the future that we just thought that it would be, since we had more time, it would be best for us to make this change. We had Kevin in mind very recently, only because we know him over 9 years. He has handled very admirably any job we've given him, loyal, communicative, and we just feel that it's a better place for us to be with Kevin as our GM.
All
Mike Harrington, Buffalo News here. The question is mostly for Kim. As John Morrow talked about, you certainly made a change here in these 3 weeks. Do you regret your statement? And secondly, and two other quick points. Do you regret that answer? Secondly, why another first-time GM when that route has failed you twice? And lastly, ultimately, why should anyone have faith in you as the team president, given the way every former employee, whether it's a coach, a GM, an executive, or another worker, points to your scattershot leadership as the number one problem in this organization?
Well, Mike, no, I don't regret saying that, Jason, because that was our intent. And that was the direction that Terry and I both talked about when I talked to John 3 weeks ago. And like I said, you know, there has been a lot of things going on in this world right now. And we are not the only club having to take some deep looks and how we move forward. And I think that's really what this was all about. As far as, I forgot how you named it, but as far as, listen, when I, and just, you know, although I am named president, you're correct, but Terry and I were a tag team in this. But listen, we're going to keep trying. Like this is something that, you know, the Sabres have been a love of ours for a long time, Terry even more so. And this is something that we're very passionate about. And we are not going to sit there and keep saying, well, you know what, we tried it this way and it didn't work, so let's not try anymore. And I think this is what it's about. We understand that, you know, listen, you know, on the Bills side, it took us several times there. We got, you know, we feel like right now we got the right people. We're going to keep trying. We feel like Kevin is the right person. And we felt like at the time that we made those other decisions, whether it was leadership, whether it was coaches or GMs, we felt at that time that they were the right person for the organization. And that doesn't always pan out the way it's supposed to. But I will tell, you know, you guys and the community that we're going to continue to try and get us to where we need to be.
Let me add something to that. There's a difference between interviewing an individual for the first time and never having met that individual and putting that individual in a position of trust in your organization. I don't care if it's a sports team, a bank, a newspaper, whatever. We have known Kevin for 9 years and keep jamming him with responsibilities, and he kept rising up the ladder. He's a very knowledgeable and passionate person. He's a great communicator, and this isn't some scattershot decision that we made. So, you know, that's the way it came down.
Hey guys, hope you're healthy down there in Florida, if that's actually where you are. I actually don't know where you are. Terry, I wanted to ask you, you said a difference of opinion. Jason has told us many times that he feels building a team is done through the draft. And he even said when we talked to him about what he's going to do moving forward with this team, it was a lot of young players. We're going to deal with the young players and they're going to have to, you know, get in there and do their jobs. Is that the philosophy that you disagreed with?
Absolutely not. I still, that is the cornerstone of the growth of any sports franchise, is to draft well and develop your young players. And we're still 100% on that track.
On to me. All right, Tim Graham from The Athletic. How you doing, Terry and Kim? I wanted to ask what the disconnect was. You mentioned that within those 3 weeks, you realized that the vision didn't match up in terms of building a Stanley Cup team. What was it?
Well, as you know, Tim, the last 6 months in the world have not been easy times for sports teams, businesses. We believe in acting and not reacting to certain situations. We as owners had a vision to where we need to go in these uncertain times. We don't know if we're going to have fans next year. and whatnot as far as competitive sports go. But our looking ahead, we need to make some adjustments in the business side and of our operations that we provide that foresight to the organization. And we felt like we weren't being heard. And I'm not going to sit here and, you know, dish on Jason Bottrell, but, you know, we have a vision and we want to see our vision succeed.
Can you give an example? I know you say you don't want to dish on Jason, but can you give an example? Because I think, and maybe I'm reading tea leaves a little bit too much and I'd rather not, but when you talk about the financial aspect of things, or whether it be pandemic related or social unrest, whatever it be, I think a lot of people would hope that those two things are totally disconnected from hockey decisions. So what is it about?
My example would be that we're looking forward enthusiastically to the success of this franchise, and we feel that that's the most important thing we need to accomplish as a franchise this off season.
Do you want to say something? No, Tim, I guess I would just add to that, like, you know, as we all know, part of sports is, you know, is the results. It's a results-driven, you know, industry. And if you look at too many, if you look at our past, we haven't been happy with the results. And so I think this was an opportunity to say, okay, how can we do things differently? What is really not working? Instead of just repeating maybe past mistakes or repeating different processes. And that's what we were really trying to look for, is find some new insights, some new thoughts on how to go forward and what the future looks like. And that's maybe, you know, without getting into real details, but just kind of some of the philosophical, as we call it, discussions that we had, and just felt that Kevin was better equipped to actually get us down those roads.
Where's your Tigers hat, Tim?
Kevin, recognizing that there's probably an awful lot of things that you want to accomplish and soon, instinctively, what was the first thing you thought of when you took this job, and you know, as far as what you really want to tackle first, priority-wise, you know, on the hockey side?
Yeah, you know, I think starting internally, looking at our staff, having discussions, making sure that our staff understands the vision that Terry and Kim have put together, understands the relationship that Ralph and I already have from me working this past year, and now how we want to move forward together. So I think that Duffer is the priority right now. I'd be lying, I have a few hours on the job if I didn't tell you that the list is long and you can only tackle them one at a time. But I'd say I'd start with that right at the top.
Hey, Terry and Kim, Adam Benigni, WGRZ Buffalo. I wanted to ask you, there's been a great, you know, calling among the fan base for the need for additional experienced leadership in the organization, i.e. a president of hockey operations. Is that something you're willing to consider moving forward? And how much does the financial situation play into that, the answer to that question, as you look ahead?
Okay, we unmuted?
Yep.
Adam, we feel that with the three pieces we have in place now, our ownership and Kevin and Ralph, that we've got this 100% open line of communication that we as owners have always felt is necessary for any sports team to be successful. You know, across town, we have the same relationship, and it seems to be going okay over there. Financially, that's not a reason for this president of hockey operations. And to be honest with you, I don't believe in that philosophy anyway. So we're happy with the line of communications we have now. We believe in a flat organization where we can all talk to each other and communicate, not only the head coach, the GM, and the owners, but strength and conditioning, the players, everybody. We all talk to each other and without any walls or barriers between us.
Hey, it's Greg Wyshynski with ESPN. This is a question for Ralph. As we're talking about this organizational structure and this camaraderie, do you feel as though your relationship with Kevin might get you a bit more involved on the hockey operations player personnel side in this setup?
First of all, hi to everybody. Always good to see you. Thanks, Greg, for the question. I think that, I need to go back a ways. And 13 months ago when I met Terry and Kim and we were in the offices in Buffalo with Jason, and we ended up planning, for a 1-hour meeting that turned into six, without food and no espressos, by the way. But one thing for sure was the common ground that we felt about the Sabres, and I could feel the passion that Kim and Terry had for the organization. And I signed on here as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, and I'm very proud to continue. There's a lot of emotions attached with the decisions that were made today, but all that matters now is the actions that we take moving forward. And my actions will continue to be as the head coach. Kevin already mentioned it. Our relationship developed extremely organically. You know, we met on so many platforms this year, whether a dinner in Arizona or a FaceTime while I was traveling or at home in Buffalo. We had lots of conversations. They were much more around business because of my past as chairman in Southampton. And Kevin in his new role, we had predominantly calls and conversations about the world of business, moving from sports leadership into business and doing it in a combination. So it's going to be a team effort going forward from Kim, Terry, from Kevin and myself. We feel a common philosophy here. We feel common ground, and we're excited about the opportunities that we have moving forward. You know, I'm grateful and appreciate the time that I had with Jason, and I do want to wish him all the very best as he moves forward from this experience, and he will move forward strongly. But we have a team now, and like I said, the actions now are them that matter. But my role in this club is very clearly from the first day to be the best possible head coach I can be. I'm still not there. I have to improve myself first, but I look forward to attacking all these different levels of sports challenges together with Kevin when it comes to the management side in the future. But I will have enough responsibility when the gates open for us again. We all know it'll come hard and fast, and we will be ready.
Hello to everyone. This is John Vogel with The Athletic. First of all, congrats to Kevin. This question is for Tim and Kerry, my question is, there's been a lot of talk about philosophies and why philosophies haven't worked. Why do you think these philosophies haven't worked so far?
For us?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to label communication as one of the biggest issues with the Sabres. We believe in open communication between all the powers to be in the organization, and sometimes that breaks down. Sometimes it could be anybody's fault, but this happens. There's only one Stanley Cup winner every year, and again, our goal is to enthusiastically face the future with our new regime here, and try to win a championship. And I'm enthusiastic about that with the gentleman we're working with in the organization now.
I think to add to that, I think Terry touched on it earlier, that the other GMs that we had hired or was here before, we interviewed them. You call around. But until you get to the day-to-day And sometimes, you know, it takes years, right, to understand where they're at and what common ground that you find together. With Kevin, you know, it's been a long process, and not in the GM role, but certainly as a person. And I think this is why we think that, you know, this is a little bit different. This is a change from maybe how we normally are, or a lot of other Cubs normally hire GMs. This was somebody that has been part of our organizations in multiple roles, and that we've come to know and respect. And I think that makes, you know, a difference this time around.
Hey everyone, Matt Bove here with WKBW. Thank you for doing this, Kevin. Congratulations. A question for you. You know, we have so many, when we do these press conferences, every general manager is always asked, what's their vision for the team? And everybody kind of says the same thing. With the way this roster is built right now, do you have the pieces in place to make this a successful team without a complete roster overhaul? Or do you think there's a lot of changes that need to be made?
Yeah, it's a good question, Matt. I think that's something that, you know, Ralph and Terry and Kim and I are going to dive into right away. You know, as we talked about, it's a few hours into the job, so we haven't been able to go through the entire roster step by step here and discuss the pieces. But I will say this. I've heard Ralph say it, and he said it to me. He feels this is a team of players that buys in. He has great relationships. His staff has great relationships with the players. And as a former player myself, when you have a buy-in to the coach, so many great things can happen. So that's a big piece of the puzzle. And now it's up to us to collaboratively look into it. Where can we improve? How do we play on the road? You know, how can we be better in those areas? And just those type of discussions. And what pieces of the puzzle, do you need? And I'll say that the National Hockey League is a matchup league. You need to make sure that players are put in positions to succeed. And that's where Ralph and I will be in lockstep as we go through this offseason. And as we've talked about a couple times in this call, it's a long offseason, right? There's time. We can work through those type of those questions, and we're going to do that starting right away.
Hi, everyone. Lance Lysowski from the Buffalo News. Kevin, congratulations.
Thanks,
my question is, Terry, specifically for you. You mentioned moving forward economically given the current situation that you're operating under. Now, are you speaking specifically to potential maybe making the hockey operations department smaller, allocating resources in different areas? And if so, I mean, how important will it be to surround, you know, Kevin and Ralph with maybe some, you know, experienced people who've worked in hockey operations who have knowledge of different methods to maybe maximize your budget, for instance?
Yeah, as I mentioned, three words: effective, efficient, and economic. Today's sports world I'm the last guy to know anything about technology. I can't even mute this thing we're talking on here. But I can tell you this, with all the existing technology that exists in the world of sports today, we can move forward much leaner than we operated in the past and much more efficient. We have all the tools to look at and fine-tune over and over, slow it down in slow motion, back it up, look at it again, of a player and what he does in a split second. So you're right. We're going to get leaner. It's just the way the world's heading. Any business today, you look at the things they do. They're more efficient. They do things quicker. They use this new technologies that we all have at our fingertips. Did I get your question there?
Yeah. Second part was when you're looking at different ways to maximize your budget, when you're trying to go leaner, how important is it to surround Kevin and Ralph with people who have worked, who have experience, more experience, I guess, working in the front office and maybe know different methods you can use when it comes to, you know, video scouting or the various things that you sort of mentioned?
Well, I can tell you the two guys you just mentioned, Kevin and Ralph, they're probably as much into this technology or more than I am. So, we're all on board with this. That's one of the ways we want to head our organization in that direction.
I don't know if there's ever a right way. I think, you know, winning and building a successful organization, it happens in all different shapes and forms. It's what's right for us, what's right for the Buffalo Sabres, who's the right people in those places. So I don't think we're going to get hung up as much as, you know, what's the pedigree of this person or that person and who are we going to add. I think it's going to be more organic about, you know, who's the right person for the Buffalo Sabres and making sure that they're adding value, that they're getting us to a better place, that we're always improving. So I think that's more we're going to focus on versus kind of, you know, maybe what someone's, you know, background completely is. And I mean, believe me, that does play a part of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that experience and knowledge doesn't play a part of that, but we're going to take our time to go through all that and put the right people together.
Just to, this question's for the Pagoulas, just to kind of follow up on what Lance was asking. I mean, you guys let go of two assistant GMs with a lot of experience. Do you plan on having another assistant GM or two under Kevin, maybe one with experience as an NHL GM?
It's early. We need to talk that through. We haven't arrived at a single conclusion yet on that.
But I know we're open to it. Kevin's open to it. Like I said, it's finding, making sure that it's the right people and that they're also in line with the vision that, you know, we collectively with Coach and Kevin have, you know, want to see going forward.
Hi, Mary Dunleavy from WREL-TV here in Raleigh. Kevin, you're a big highlight of your career was here in Raleigh. I'm just curious, what did you learn during your stint with the Hurricanes and how have you applied that throughout your career and now as the GM of the Sabres?
Yeah, Mary, those are special years. And when I'm talking to Buffalo fans or Buffalo media, sometimes they don't like talking about the Carolina years. But I will say, I learned out of my entire career, I learned the most in my time in Carolina for a couple reasons. I was fortunate enough to get to a Stanley Cup the first time in 2002, and we lost to Detroit. And I learned on staying in the moment. I learned on you can't let your mind drift 1 second if you want to ultimately win a Stanley Cup. And I promised we could ever get back there. That was going to be something I took away. And fortunately, 4 years later, was able to kind of get there, and everybody knows what happened then. And I'll point specifically to the learning process from Rod Brindamore and Ron Francis, two of the best Hurricanes ever. And, you know, Rod Brindamore in particular is the captain of that Stanley Cup team. He made such an impression on me. He showed me what just work ethic and commitment and just – everything that Rod Brindamore stands for, I took a lot away from that. And then, you know, I took that into the next part of my life. You know, when hockey, my playing career was over, you know, like any former player, it's like, okay, what's next? And how are you going to be successful? And so many things are the same. How do you treat people? How are you, do you do the work every day? Are you doing it with the right people? At night when you go to bed, did you get a little bit better? I mean, those are all things that I've tried to bring into the many different jobs over the last 10 years that I've had. And that's how we're going to march forward as Buffalo Sabres hockey team. We're going to push each other. We're going to be collaborative. We're going to do it together. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to be honest. We're going to have great debates, conversations around how do we get better? Our goal is going to be the same. And it's not always easy to just come out of a room arm in arm. You have to battle through some things. And ultimately, though, if you trust each other and you all get to the same place, which is we want to win a Stanley Cup, then great things can happen. So that's in a nutshell, I'd say, what I learned from Carolina and what I'm looking forward to bringing into this next phase of my personal career.
Heather Prusak here from WIVB here in Buffalo. My question is for Kim and Terry. I don't know if you guys heard, you know, some of the players when they had the virtual locker clean out, Jack Eichel saying that he's fed up with losing, Rasmus Ristolainen saying that he doesn't even know what a winning culture feels like because, you know, neither of them have made the postseason since they've been here in Buffalo. I guess hearing that from your players and core pieces of this team, especially the captain, how much pressure do you guys feel to get this thing back on track and get this thing heading in the right direction?
Well, I myself, we feel that same frustration as the players you mentioned. I had a conversation with Ralph this morning, and Ralph believes that our team, with their buying in, is not as far removed from winning as a lot of people may think. He's very optimistic about our future, and we feel that that's a really good attitude to keep in any organization. Even though we didn't win this year, we have to stay positive, and we will stay positive into the future. And my attitude is onward and upward, and let's keep working. You want to say something?
I disagree with him that that's, you know, obviously it's not, those are the words that you don't want to hear as ownership. We have a great relationship with Jack and the players. And we, like you said, we feel the frustration. We certainly do, not just on the ice, but across all the different departments. And, but that's really what spurns us to continue to try to finding different ways to get better. And this is, you know, part of kind of what we talked about with making the change into Kevin, what the success or the lack of success that we may have had in some areas that didn't result on the ice. But as Terry said, there have been some progress made, maybe that the fan base or you guys maybe don't see, but we don't think that this is a rebuild. Like, we think there's just some pieces and some things we need to do differently and look at, and but we have a lot already really good here at Foundation to start from, and that's what we're looking forward to is what's coming up in the next years.
And Heather, if I could add something too, you know, you've mentioned what those three players said, and you know, that fire that they have is also exciting. If you listen to everything else they said after the season, they want to get back together. They want to get playing again. It's not a frustration where anybody is giving up here. And, you know, we are fighting to have a potential meeting of some sort. If the hypothetical still playoffs do happen, and all the players have embraced that as an opportunity, possibly in September or whenever, to spend a week together if the NHL allows us. We don't know that yet, but there is a surge of energy going on that, you know, I don't want to overdo it, but we're excited about the way we've communicated with the players over the last 3 months. And that anger also raises the bar, and it gives us, it gives Kevin and myself the opportunity to raise the expectations on each individual player to chip in to make this work. You know, Kim and Terry have given us the framework to be able to build a strong team of outstanding players and individuals and people. And we have a very strong staff. And we've had nothing but support from ownership since I've been here. And they're our biggest fans. And they're there to help you when you have a bad day. And they're pushing us in a supportive and not a critical way. And, you know, I think everybody in Buffalo needs to know we've got a group here that's in this together, including the players. And not just the four of us here on the screen, and we want to get it right. And what you've mentioned is frustration, which is a good sign, because they're not just happy to be in the NHL, and they want to, there's one thing, you try to get to the NHL first. Once you've been here a while, you want to do what Kevin did in 2006. You want to be a winner. You want to get there. And we've got a group that's matured to a point where that hunger is big, and it's up to me as a head coach to, you know, put the combinations together to make us competitive when we play. But that's a good question, Heather, and it just gets me fired up to go back at it soon.
Okay, just a few more questions here. John Scott, go ahead.
Hi, John Scott from Spectrum News here in Buffalo. This is for Terry and Kim. I was curious why you thought that you've had such great success with the Bills playoffs 2 out of the past 3 years, when you've owned the Sabres for twice as long and are still churning through coaches and general managers and still searching for that elusive playoff appearance?
That's a good question.
Wish we had the answer.
Yeah, well, I think we have the answer now. I think that the present regime, and I'm going to go back in this communication, I think we have the pieces in place as people who trust each other and that we can put together a winning combination here. I would also, if I want to take this time right now before we sign off, I want to send a message to Jason Bottrell. When we dedicated Harbor Center, I looked at Kevin Adams in the stands, and I was giving him my opening comments. I was standing on the ice, and I looked at Kevin, and I said, Kevin, sometimes there's always good and something bad, right? And we had just fired Kevin as assistant coach at the Sabres. So I want to tell Jason that this may not be the best day of your life, but your career is going to go up. And, you know, we wish him all the best.
Hi, Terry and Kim. This is Matt Fairburn from The Athletic. Hope you guys are doing good. You've mentioned a few times, you know, getting leaner and a bit more efficient. And I'm curious if the financial situation is going to impact in any way your ability to sign Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean to competitive extensions.
First off, there is no financial situation. I don't know where that rumor started. Yeah, if you look at every oil and gas company, which is our core business outside of sports, they're all, you might use the word hurting, but you know, we don't have any debt on our oil and gas business. We don't have, we need to do better moving forward in the sports business, like every team's going to have to do it, because if we don't have any fans in the seats next year, you know, what are your economics in the world of sports? So we need that component, especially in the National Hockey League. So even though times are not good in any of these businesses, it's still, you know, you got to find solutions, and you got to look up and try to find those solutions. So, you know, there is, talking about the Bills right now, there's no financial pressure negative on the franchise.
Hey, Terry, it's back on to me again. I think I needed to wedge back in and tell you that it's all Curse of Colavito stuff. I got to, you know, Harvey Keene, I was stuck with. So this is my cross to bear, as my Indians hat. I know you enjoyed Rocky Colavito.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, so there was a general manager switch here. Was there a search? Were other candidates interviewed? I guess, what was the process like before hiring Kevin? And then I have a follow-up after that.
No, there was no search. This is all an in-house hire. Very, very recent. That's how it came to being.
What are your thoughts, both of you, Terry and Kim, regarding what's going on in the country right now, whether how it's affecting sports or not, just the fact that we're going through a pretty unprecedented time here, I think.
Certainly, you know, pandemic is one thing, you know, the murder of George Floyd and the response to that, it adds another layer of complexity. And then, of course, uncertainty about where our industry and the league is going. But we find a lot of positive in the resilience of people. You know, if you look across the history, Terry watches the History Channel all the time. You know, we're a pretty resilient lot. And I do think that we are going to come out of this. Unfortunately, there was some pain, but it's going to bring about some learning. So I'm always a person that's glass is half full. So I'm taking a very positive look that some of the things that are going on in our country will move us forward and that we're going to be in a much better place. As it affects our own individual businesses, we know we're not alone. We, you know, just like all your businesses and your papers and your media outlets, you know, you guys all have had also issues that your leaders and ownership groups have had to go through. And we'll survive those. You know, these are just, it takes a lot of courage and you're going to have to be nimble and make some adjustments, but you know, feel confident that you know, whether it's 6 months, a year, 3 years, you know, we'll be in a better place.
Hey, it's John Warrow again. This is for Kevin. And congratulations on the promotion. With all that being said, you've worked your way up the ladder. You've had a lot of experiences in various capacities. As a first-time GM, however, what are the challenges you might have to face in building relationships with agents, when building relationships with fellow general managers, and getting an idea on how to solve what could be a precarious salary cap situation with where the cap might be or might not be just going forward? How do you prepare for those challenges when you have, you know, when you haven't had really, you've had a partial grasp of that job in the past?
Yeah. Well, thanks, John. You know, I look at it this way. I think that you have to be completely open-minded in a leadership role going into these type of situations where you know you have a lot to learn. There, you have to check any ego at the door and you have to surround yourself with great people. So if you don't know the answer to something, you say, I don't know, and you surround yourself with people, you ask hard questions, and you figure it out together. So that's my style. It's always been my style, and we'll continue to do that. And, you know, I'm going to be very honest with media, with fans. I'm accessible. You'll see me at restaurants. I'm a Buffalo guy. Like, I totally understand the community and where everybody is and the passion of the fans, and I'm in this with everyone. And that's what gets me excited when I talk to Ralph, because Ralph has that infectious personality and energy and positivity about him, and we're going to be in lockstep together. So that starts to the things that get me excited in terms of, you know, relationships. That's any business and any part of life, right? Like building relationships, making sure that you reach out to people. You know, we had a great call with Jack this morning, just to start to talk to him a little bit. And I'm going to be talking to our players. Certainly fellow general managers, one of my high on the to-do list, because I know I already covered that, is to call every general manager in the league and just talk to them, a number of them. I either played four as a player. You know, when you get traded a lot, you play for some different GMs, and that was part of my journey, whether it's Chuck Fletcher or Jimmy Rutherford. Ron Francis, as I mentioned, is a very close friend, and obviously will be coming in the league in Seattle. So there's a lot of relationships I have built over the years. And to me, that's the fun part. That's just being genuine in who I am and just, you know, working through that. In terms of the agent part, again, that's similar. The agents that I know, it's to get reacquainted with. The agents that I don't know is to pick up the phone and get to know them. You know, and I think sometimes people make things too difficult. I think when you just boil it down, you be honest with each other, you treat people well, and you just do it consistently day in and day out. And if we have that mentality across our organization, I believe we can do great things. So that's maybe a long answer to your question, but I hope I hit all your points.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.